Hello, beautiful soul. Welcome back to The Family Architect. By now, you've heard me say this. Perfection is not the goal. But if you've ever gone to bed replaying the day thinking, I've ruined it, I've messed up again, I'm failing my child, then today's episode is for you. Because what matters most in parenting is not never rupturing, it's knowing how to repair. And this distinction, this shift from perfection to repair, is at the heart of the regulated mother method. It's how we parent by design rather than by default. Let me start by saying that what a rupture actually is, because I think we often make it more dramatic than it needs to be. A rupture is simply a break in connection. It happens when you yell, when you shut down, when you snap over something small, when you're stressed and you say something sharp. When your child says, you don't love me, and your heart sinks because part of you fears that it might be true. Here's what I want you to understand. Rupture happens in every relationship, every single one. They're not proof you're failing. They're actually opportunities to model something that most of us never saw growing up, how to come back together after disconnection. Most of us learned that conflict meant the end of safety, that mistakes meant shame, and that disappointing someone meant losing their love. But what if ruptures could become bridges instead of walls? What if they could be invitations to deeper connection rather than evidence of broken relationships? This is revolutionary thinking for many of us. We grew up believing that good parents don't lose their temper, don't make mistakes, don't hurt their children's feelings. But this perfectionist standard is not only impossible, it's actually harmful because it teaches children that love is conditional on performance. When you repair, you teach your child that relationships are strong enough to handle mistakes. You show them that feelings do not have to be buried, that messes don't mean abandonment, that love isn't fragile. Think about that for a second. How different would your own childhood have been if after conflict, someone had come back to you with warmth, eye contact, and safety? If someone had said, I'm sorry I raised my voice. This wasn't about you, it was about my stress. I love you and we're okay. Most of us never experienced that kind of repair. So we don't know how to offer it to our children. We either pretend the rupture didn't happen or we spiral in guilt and shame. But repair heals what rupture alone could never destroy. Let me walk you through the three steps of repair that we teach in the Regulated Mother Method. These aren't just techniques, they're practices of humility and reconnection. The first step is return. And here's where most people get it wrong. Do not rush straight into repair while you're still dysregulated. This is crucial. If you're still activated, still angry, still in shame spiral, your repair attempt will likely create another rupture. First, regulate yourself. Pause, breathe, use the first 60-second protocol we talked about in the last episode if you need to. Take a walk around the block, call a friend, do whatever you need to do to come back to your wise, grounded self. Then come back physically. Be present in their space. Don't try to repair from across the room or through a closed door. Get low, make eye contact, and be with them. I worked with a mother named Lisa who was an overwhelmed heart archetype. After she snapped at her kids, she immediately wanted to fix it, but she was still feeling frantic and guilty. Her apologies would come out of as a more overwhelming energy, which just confused her children more. And when she learned to take a few minutes to breathe and ground herself first, her repairs became much more effective. Her children could feel that she was truly present and calm, not just trying to manage her own guilt. The second step is reflect. This is where you name what happened in simple, honest language. You're not blaming them, you're owning your part. For example, I yelled earlier. That wasn't okay. I walked away because I felt overwhelmed. I'm sorry if that felt scary. I said something sharp when I was stressed. That wasn't fair to you. Notice what we're not doing here. We're not saying, I'm sorry you felt bad, or I'm sorry, but you need to understand I was stressed. We're not making excuses or turning it back on the child. We're simply owning our behavior and acknowledging its impact. This is hard for many of us because we didn't learn how to take responsibility without shame. We learned that being wrong meant being bad. But you can model something different for your children. You can show them that adults can make mistakes and still be good people. Let me tell you about Jenna, who had the hidden rage archetype. She would explode at her children over small things and then feel terrible afterwards. For years, she would either pretend it didn't happen or launch into long explanations about why she got upset. When she learned to simply say, I yelled and that wasn't okay, I'm sorry, without all her justification, her children started trusting her apologies. They could feel that she was taking responsibility instead of trying to make them understand why she did it. The third step is reconnect. This is where you offer reassurance of love and safety. This might sound like, even when I got upset, I love you deeply. We can start fresh. I'm still here and I always will be. Nothing you could ever do could ever make me stop loving you. Sometimes words aren't needed. Sometimes it's just a cuddle, a smile, or sitting beside them until they soften. You're communicating safety with your presence, not just your words. Let me share a story about how this plays out in real life. Emma, a mother in my community, had the hypervigilant protector archetype. One evening, her child spilt milk all over the homework that had been they'd been working on for an hour. And Emma's trigger was anything that felt like wasted effort or lost control. She exploded, shouted about responsibility, about being careful, about consequences. Her 8-year-old daughter ran to her room sobbing. Old Emma would have stayed stuck in guilt, avoided the subject, maybe bringing her daughter a snack later as a way of smoothing things over without actually addressing what happened. But with repair, she waited until she was calm, then gently knocked on the door. She said, "Sweetheart, I shouted earlier. That wasn't fair. You didn't deserve that. I'm sorry. I love you." Her daughter melted, climbed into her lap, and together they wiped up the mess and started the homework over. That moment didn't erase the rupture, it transformed it. It became a moment for deeper connection, a moment where her daughter learned that her mother's love was stronger than her mother's stress. Now, if you've taken the Awakening Trigger Map quiz, you can adapt your repair approach based on your archetype. Because different nervous systems need different approaches. If you're the overwhelmed heart, keep your repair short and simple. Don't over-apologize or turn the repair into another overwhelming experience. Just own it simply and move on. If you're the silenced child, practice speaking clearly instead of minimizing. You might want to say, "I'm sorry if..." Or maybe I overreacted, but instead try, "I yelled and that wasn't okay. I'm sorry." If you're the hidden rage, focus on softening in your tone. Your children will feel your energy more than your words. They need to sense that the anger has passed, that you're safe to be around again. If you're the hypervigilant protector, repair slowly. Let your nervous system fully settle first. Don't rush into repair because you're anxious about the disconnection. Your children need to feel your genuine calm, not your urgent need to fix things. If you're the numb resigner, use touch if your child is open to it. A hand on the back, a hug, sitting close. Sometimes when you're struggling to access emotions or words, physical presence can communicate what words cannot. But here's something important I want you to understand. Repair isn't about erasing the rupture or pretending it didn't happen. It's about modeling emotional responsibility and showing your children that relationships can handle imperfection. Some ruptures will need more than one repair conversation. Some children will need time to trust that you really mean it. Some repairs will feel awkward or forced at first. That's all normal. You're learning a new skill, and so are your children. I want to address something that comes up a lot. What if your child doesn't want to talk about it? What if they push you away or say they're fine when you try to repair? This is especially common with older children who've learned that emotional conversations aren't safe, or with highly sensitive children who need more time to process. You can still offer repair even if they're not ready to accept it. You might say, "I know you don't want to talk right now, and that's okay. I just want you to know that I yelled earlier and that wasn't fair. When you're ready, I'm here." Then you back off and give them space, but you've planted the seed of repair. Sometimes the most powerful repairs happen days later, when your child brings up something you've forgotten about. They might say, "Remember when you yelled about the milk?" And you get to say, "I do remember. I was stressed about something else and I took it out on you. That wasn't okay. I'm sorry." These delayed repairs are just as valuable as immediate ones because they show your children that you don't just forget about your mistakes, that their feelings matter enough for you to remember and acknowledge. Let me tell you about another kind of repair that's equally important: repairing with yourself. After a rupture, many of us go into self-attack mode. We tell ourselves we're terrible mothers, that we're damaging our children, that we should know better by now. But this self-attack actually makes future ruptures more likely because shame dysregulates your nervous system. When you're carrying shame about your parenting, you're more likely to get triggered because you're already activated. So part of repair is also saying to yourself, "I'm human. I made a mistake. I can learn from this and do it differently next time." This isn't about letting yourself off the hook. It's about staying regulated enough to actually change your patterns. Here's what I want you to know about the long-term impact of repair. Children who experience repair learn that relationships are resilient. They learn that love doesn't disappear when things get hard. They learn that adults can take responsibility for their actions. They learn that they're worthy of apologies, that their feelings matter. These children grow up to be adults who can handle conflict, who can take responsibility for their own mistakes, who don't people please out of fear of disappointing others. They become adults who know that they're lovable even when they mess up. On the other hand, children who experience ruptures without repair often grow up believing that love is conditional, that they have to be perfect to be loved, that conflict means abandonment. They become adults who either avoid conflict entirely or who don't know how to repair their own relationships. This is why repair is so powerful. You're not just fixing the moment. You're shaping your child's understanding of relationships for their entire life. But here's something else I want you to consider. Repair also changes you. Every time you take responsibility for a rupture, every time you approach your child with humility and love, you're healing your own childhood wounds. You're giving yourself the repair you might not have received. We're not defined, you're not defined by your ruptures. You're defined by your repair. And every repair you make becomes a thread of safety your child will carry for life. This is the work of the regulated mother method. This is how we archetype families, where mistakes are opportunities for deeper connection, where love is proven not by perfection, but by presence, where children learn that they are worthy of repair. In our next episode, we'll explore the myth of self-sacrifice and why reclaiming your needs is actually the most loving thing you can do as a mother. We'll talk about how the regulated mother method helps you break free from the belief that good mothers don't have needs. Until then, take a breath. Offer repair where it's needed. And remember, you are awakening to a new way of being in relationship with your child and with yourself. If you haven't taken the Awakening Trigger Map quiz yet, head over to fantasticfuture.com.au and discover your unique trigger archetype. Understanding your patterns is the first step to changing them. Knowing your archetype will help you personalize your repair approach, and I'll pop it in the show notes as well. And if the Family Architect podcast is helping you transform your parenting, please take a moment to follow the show and leave a review. Your words will help other mothers find this work, and they remind me why I'm passionate about helping families heal. Share this episode with somebody who needs to hear that they don't have to be the perfect mother. We heal in community, and your sharing might give another mother permission to repair instead of hiding in shame. Thank you for being here, for choosing repair over perfection, for showing your children what it looks like to be human and loving at the same time. Until next time, love.